It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Joshua as we bring that book to a close, and it's Joshua chapter 24. We're going to begin reading with verse 21, Joshua chapter 24, verse 21. And so as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit us or if you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Joshua chapter 24, we're going to begin reading now at the 21st verse, Joshua 24, 21. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your hearts unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was an sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Eliezer, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in the hill that pertaineth to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. That's the end of the book of Joshua, and let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come together and enjoy this study. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll guide and lead us and that you'll touch every heart as we look to this word, that it will touch every one of us, that we can look to you and trust in you and walk with you each and every day, dear Lord. It's so important, dear Lord, that we serve you and praise you and honor you. Now, Father, we ask as we close out this book that it just be the beginning of somebody's life if they will come today and choose the Lord Jesus. As we have looked at these verses of Scripture, and it speaks of choose you this day who you're going to serve, and we need to see that we will follow the same, because it is so important today that we follow after our Lord and God, and we don't follow after this world. And dear Father, we know that your Son Jesus died on the cross that all could live, but we have to have a relationship with your Son Jesus. They must trust in you as their Savior. So please, please, dear Lord, today, touch every heart, those that are lost and those that are saved, that we all may come to know you and come to grow in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to back up just a little bit into Joshua chapter 24 and go back into the 14th and 15th verse. Those are verses, you know, he went through and told the people all that God had done. He just, you know, and again, if you go through and circle all the I's, you know, I've got 1 in 3, 2 in 4, 5 in 4 in 5, 1 in 6, 1 in 7, 1 in 8, 2 in 8, 3 in 8, 1 in 10, 2 in 10, 1 in 11, 1 in 12, 1 in 13. And it goes through all the things that God has done for this sweet nation, the nation of Israel. And what a glorious treatment. And this land that they are back in now is theirs. And, you know, our government, as well as other governments, are trying to take it away from them. And they have every right to it. It was taken from them some 2,000 years ago, and now they have gotten back into the land to a small level, but they need to possess it all, and there will be a day that they will. No matter what man says, the God of Israel is going to protect them. There is no bombs, there is no army that's great enough that can destroy the nation of Israel. It will never, ever happen. You can swear against Israel. You can do everything you want to against the nation of Israel. They are not going away, nor is the word of God. So we look here at the 14th verse, and now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, those are words that every person that's sitting in a pew today needs to think about. Because I'm sad and sorry to say that there is just so many things of this world and this life that take priority over the service of God and the attending of church and coming to hear the Word of God. People find just umpteen excuses, and it's just unbelievable how people find a way not to come to church. Well, he says, well, it's I've just got all these things to do. You're going to answer to your God. If you're born again, you're going to answer to your God for your ways. And here Joshua is saying to these, all the people, all the nation of Israel, will you choose today who you're going to serve and then serve him? And if you're not going to serve him, then go serve the gods on the other side. Go serve them if that's what you want to do. But today, make a choice. And today, why we have so many half-hearted, and of course, we're in the church age of Laodicea, which is exactly that, lukewarm. And it's so sad today, so sad to see this, the church believers to be just half-hearted, and that's all they are. And we hope today that this will be a day of change and a day of movement. They'll begin to serve. And so we find that Joshua said, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I hope that that's a statement that you make today and mean it. Now, when he presented this to the people, and, oh, yes, Joshua, we will serve the Lord. Oh, yes, Joshua, we're going to stand with you without a question. I mean, we're not going to veer. We're not going to turn away at all. Well, I think God showed Joshua that wasn't going to be true, because they left so many of the gods of the land around them. And so it was just inevitable that what was going to happen was that they were going to fall back into the idol worship of the gods of the land, because they didn't do what God said to do. And so here we have it. And he gives them great instruction here in verse 21. The people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And look what he said in verse 20. It's back up one. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. He has given them this land, he has blessed them so, and yet if ye forsake the Lord, and Joshua, I believe, knew that they were going to. And He said it was going to do you hurt and consume you. What he did, he always promised. See, we can't take one verse of Scripture and build completely from that one verse of Scripture. Scripture confirms Scripture. And so you study and you study and you study, and that's how that we know that God saves and God keeps. It's called eternal security. We know once you're saved, you're always saved, because of Scripture verse after Scripture verse confirms that. And we look at the same thing concerning baptism. You know, some saved to be baptized, and so they require baptism. Well, many times in there, the same Scripture speaks of salvation only. Baptism is an outward appearance. It's something we should do in obedience to our Lord, but it has nothing to do with our salvation, because, see, salvation is free, is free. It's a free gift from our God, and if we just call upon Him, but we must do that, we got to call upon Him, then He will save us. And so Joshua says here, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. He has done them a tremendous blessing, handing them this land and taking care of them, leading all these eyes back in the earlier part of this chapter. All these eyes just keep going and going and going of all the things that God has done for this people. And still they turn away. But we're going to, but when it says consume, he does. Many, many are put to death by an enemy that God allows to come in because of their disobedience. But there is always a remnant, and there's still a remnant today. And no matter how hard the enemies of God try to destroy His people, they can't. Because, my friend, He's God. He is my God, and I hope He's your God. But they cannot. Don't fear for the nation of Israel, because God will lift up. He could take a 22 rifle and destroy an atomic bomb if that's what He chooses to do. And He's almost done that in the past in relationship to the power and the strength and the numbers of Israel versus the enemy. It, you know, 1 to 10,000, my friend, that's how God counts. You stand with God, it's 1 to 10,000. Nation of Israel has been disobedient, and yet God's word is true. And He said they will never, ever cease to exist. They will always exist, always. And so just watch that. Watch that. That's proof right there that God exists, that God is the creator of this world, to this one point with this nation, with the sweet nation of Israel. Well, Joshua said unto the people, verse 22, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye choose you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, it wasn't only for the salvation of God and coming into the promised land. It says, serve Him. Serve Him. Now, we need to serve our God. We need to praise Him and honor Him. And instead of that, we spend most of our life serving self. That's what we do. We just serve self. Now, look at verse 23 now. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Now, wait a minute here. They weren't supposed to be there. But they still were there. There was some of the Israelites that had acquired these things through all the battles. They didn't destroy them as they were supposed to. Some of it is the people of the land still live there, and so they still worship their gods instead of the Israelites demanding that if you are to stay, you have to come and bow to my God. Instead of that, they were permissive and they allowed them to stay. And so not only did Joshua clearly ask them and ask them repeatedly, who do you want to serve? And they kept saying, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. Well, that's all fine. That's just fine and to a point. And now, therefore, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you. Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve. His voice will we obey. Well, it seems simple. It seems that they're committed, but we know very shortly after the death of Joshua, and after the death of all those that knew Joshua, it seems like, I guess we'd say that first generation, they held true to the Lord. But after they were gone, it seems like that the dads didn't teach the children. Oh, it's the same way today. Dads, we're not teaching our children. We're not teaching our children. We're not only bringing them to church and Sunday school, but we're teaching them the love of God and the presence of God. We're showing them the need of service and the need to bow down before God and praise Him, accept Him as Savior, that their sins can be forgiven. We find here that Joshua's last words was to tell the people, put those gods away, get rid of those gods. Joshua wasn't blind, and plus Joshua had all the wisdom of God, and so he knew. He didn't have to see them. He knew. And you know, we look today, and we look at the people that attend church, the people that attend a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church. We find even those people, many times, they've got so many gods, so many things that they would rather serve. They'd rather be around lost people. They'd rather be doing things of the world than sitting down and serving Jesus Christ as His Savior. What are you doing? What are you doing in your service to Christ? If you're going to, well, I go to church and I go to Sunday school and I even go to Sunday night and Wednesday night. That isn't serving. That's going to get fed. What are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? I want to know. Well, I'm working all day. My dear friend, so am I. I work all day long. Serve the Lord. Put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you. Incline your ears unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice we will obey. Well, that's great words. Now let's see what happens. Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord, by the tabernacle. And so we have a stone, we have the word written. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law. He took a great stone, set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. So we've got the location. Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. The tabernacle was the place to bring your sacrifices, make your offering. And of course, the tabernacle is, I love the study of the tabernacle, and it's a beautiful study. We've been through it in the past, and I hope that you were with me at the time. It is a tremendous study. Send me an email or write to me and ask me, and I can show you right on the website where these studies would be found, that you can look right onto the tabernacle. If you don't have internet, I can burn them off. I can put them on a cassette tape even. I can put them on a CD. I can do that, and I'd be glad to do that for you, so that you can see and understand and study the tabernacle, because it is the life of a Christian. It's a perfect picture of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is just a tremendous picture, and there's no clearer picture of the salvation that our God's going to bring us, or did bring us 2,000 years ago. And so we have now this tabernacle that's sitting there, but next to it, Joshua took this stone, and he put this great stone by this oak, and he says, now here, every time you see that stone, you remember the words that God said, and you remember the words that you said. You remember that you have agreed. You have agreed to stand. You have agreed to serve. You have agreed to do that. So please, please don't turn away. Don't reject. Don't be disobedient to God. And Joshua then let the people depart, every one to his own inheritance, to his own home. So he went home. Everybody went home. And so then we come to the death of Joshua. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Do you remember how old Moses was? Moses was 120. Moses was in Egypt for 40 years, wilderness for 40 years, and led the people in Midian, and then he led the people in for 40 years and brought them right to the door of the promised land. And so we find that he lived 120 years. Joshua was 10 years short of that. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Sera, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Okay, mark that. And all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. Now, remember that that could have been many years. And the reason I'm saying this is because this period of time, this period of years, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were over the age of 20 that were allowed to go into the promised land. And remember what happened? They sent the 12 spies in. They got to Kadesh Barnea. And this was just days. It wasn't years. It was days. They got to Kadesh Barnea. Send 12 spies. Two of those spies, one was Joshua and one was Caleb. And at that time, they went into the land. And they came back, and 10 said, too big, too powerful, walled, we can't do it, we're too weak, we better not. Joshua and Caleb both solidly stood, says, God said, let's go. Well, sad to say, and that's the way it is today in most cases, majority rules. It's not God's will and God's way in a church, it's majority. When it's the majority, you're going to find the power of God's going to leave very quickly. Well, it's the same thing here. God led them around through the wilderness for 40 years. Well, anyone the age of 20 or older died. They died in the wilderness, except Caleb and Joshua. Now, they were older than that, and they were allowed to go in then to the promised land. It was only two. And so you see what I'm saying is, because we got this 20-year-old boundary here, border here, that would have worked beside Joshua. The elders that were with Joshua were much younger than was Joshua. And so Joshua was a leader, and the elders followed him very faithfully, very closely. And the people served the Lord. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, number one, all the days of the elders that overlived or outlived Joshua, lived longer, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So we could say that they survived that first generation. That's about all we can say. They served the Lord for one generation. Oh, that is a terrible, terrible thought, that only one generation stayed. Now, it continued, but as far as the strength and the power, the Word of God tells us here that it's just those that experienced it, and after that, it seems to have went away. Now, we're going to stop with Joshua. We're going to stop with the nation of Israel. And we're going to look at something that we haven't talked about ever since the 50th chapter of Genesis. And you know what that is? That's Joseph. What's Joseph doing here? What's he doing in 1,427 years before the birth of Christ? What's he doing here? He died clear back in Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Let's go back there. Genesis chapter 50. We have at the end of the chapter, which is only 50 chapters in Genesis. And Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. Ha! Same as Joshua. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, and the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Joseph knew back in 1670, which is about 260 years before, he knew God's promise. He knew they were going to be led out of Israel. Oh, we need to have faith. We need to know God's going to hold on to Israel. We need to know God's going to hold on to my soul because he's never going to let me go. We need to know that. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And so Joseph died, being 110 years old. 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You stop and think about it. This was probably the most the Egypt was great in their embalming and in their mummifying, in their means. They were ahead of all the world. Joseph was a leader, second command under Pharaoh. Joseph had a Pharaoh's burial. And so he did not get buried in the dirt. He was embalmed, which didn't happen to an Israelite. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. But he said, take an oath, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. You take me out of here. I want to go home with you. And he knew it. He knew it. What a wonderful promise. That's back in Genesis 50, verses 22 through 26. Now, let's come back to verse 32. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt. They did exactly, even though 260 years have passed. They have carried those bones for 40 years in the wilderness. They have brought them into the land of Canaan, and they have waited this time, and at the death of Joseph, now we have the burial of the bones of Joseph. He promised, and brought up out of Egypt, and buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor and the father of Shechem for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. He come home. Oh, the memory, the promises, and carrying those bones, they needed to know that that man believed. What a wonderful promise. Also, we have here Eliezer, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in the hill that pertaineth to Phinehas, his son, which was given to him Mount Ephraim. And so we have the burial of Joseph, And we have the closing comments of him. And then we have the burial of the bones again of Joseph, because he said, take me out of there. I don't want to be buried in Egypt. I want to be buried in the promised land in Canaan. And he sure was. And then we find the next generation, because Aaron had died. He was the high priest, and Eleazar took his place. And now he has died. And so the generations are leaving. What a wonderful study. I'm glad that you were a part of it. I hope that you enjoyed it. And please now, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?